Hey everyone, welcome to the Livin' for Food pod. I am going to have two more episodes for you after this one, and then we're going to take a little break ahead of the next season. But I have an incredible guest for you today, Chef Manny Washington Jr. He works for the Orlando Fire Department in Florida, and he's been seen on Food Network and Fox. You may recognize him from MasterChef, Cutthroat Kitchen, and a few other amazing projects. He is such a firecracker, no pun intended, but I guess that was a good one. And we had such a fun conversation. We talked everything from the behind the scenes of MasterChef to what advice Bobby Flay gave him and beyond. So please join me in welcoming the lovely and talented Chef Manny. Well, it's so great to have you on, though. I'm excited. I think about your bread pudding at least once a week. So I feel like this is being redeemed. For those who are listening, me and Manny chatted for a minute at the South Beach Food and Wine Festival at the lovely JJ Johnson's Cookout, which he's also a friend of the podcast. He was on a few episodes ago, if you keep scrolling down. But yeah, and he served an incredible bread pudding that I had two servings of, and it was delicious. So.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much. It's good
Of
stuff
course.
there.
It was. Was that your first food festival, or do you do them normally?
I've done a couple. That was my first time at South Beach Food and Wine Festival. This is South Beach, I was helping somebody else, but the first time I was actually featured at Food and Wine Festival, so South Beach one. So done a couple before, smaller ones there, but this is like by far one of the largest ones I've done.
Yeah, no, the Miami one is nuts. It like can't really be compared to anything else. It's right on the beach. Crazy music, crazy party. It's very Miami. It makes sense.
I lost a lot of sleep that weekend. I'm like, I didn't get no sleep during that weekend.
I did too. We were eating all day, and then they're like, "You want to go out? You want to do this?" I'm like, "I need to go to sleep." Yeah, but you're cooking all day too, so I was just eating everything. So at least you were working.
A couple of pro, just a, not too bad. It was actually a great prep kitchen. It was a really great layout, so it didn't take me as long as I thought it was going to be, but it was still, work.
Yeah, makes sense. All right, so I want to get into your background a little bit. I did some data on your history. Were you born in Miami, or are you?
I was born and raised in Miami. Born and raised in Miami, and then I've been now in Orlando now for 18 years.
Oh, wow. Okay, so I understand that growing up, you learned how to make desserts from your grandmother, then your father, who served as a firefighter, who then became the firehouse chef. Tell me your earliest, most prominent memories from when you were a kid watching your grandma and your dad in the kitchen.
Yeah, this is just crazy. So it's like, my family, like my grandmother, the matriarch, was the one that, made all the meals, and my mom was also cooking there. And just growing up, always see her, and I'm like, oh, I want to help with the desserts, kind of growing up there, kind of just helping out. And actually, around Thanksgiving time is like the big time to cook, so as growing up in years, whatever, it's like I was able to, like, I want to, I want to do one. I want to do dessert, my own dessert, not necessarily
Of course.
stuff there. And I'll never get into the big thing. Then I did that. I did like a sweet potato pie, my first thing I ever made, and knocked it out of the park. And then like I moved up into, making some cakes, and then I did that. And then my mom was like the one who made the sides and some stuff there. So then I started learning some sides from her. And every year, like I added on and started doing some sides, and then once I mastered those, then it kind of get into the grand poobah, which is the meats. My dad was the one handling the roasting the turkey or frying the turkey or the ham and stuff there. So now learning from him, and then now finally getting able to do that. That's where kind of like graduating into that of that. So just kind of evolved from there.
Yeah, I was reading about your sweet potato pie moment on your website. It seemed really sweet, literally and figuratively.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. It was a passing the torch. This is kind of passing the torch from there.
Yeah.
One day I could do to my kids, kind of thing. So,
Oh, that's so sweet. What was your mindset at the time when they called upon you and said, "You can cook this," because that's a lot of pressure to cook a family.
I was like, oh snap, this is real. Like, I was really like sitting there and like, writing down, like, oh, I gotta make sure I know the recipe and stuff. So it was pretty funny, just doing all this stuff. Well, at the time it wasn't funny. I'm like, oh, sweating bullets. But go figure. Like the first time thinking that my mom made like a backup pie. She didn't tell me, but she made backup pies just in case.
Oh, she did.
Even though mine's good, they didn't use them, but everybody said, hey, okay. But we had them back just in case I messed up the recipe. So it was pretty funny. I found out after the fact, like, hey, what are these doing here? And then she's like, oh, yeah, I made them just in case. I'm like, oh. So then
she had no faith, but now she does, I'm sure.
Yes.
What were their feelings after they were like, this was such an amazing dessert? Were they like, this kid's going places?
What was that? So what I usually do is that, it's usually time. If they talking like after or start talking, it's like, it's okay. But if they're like silent, like when they're eating and not talking, and it was like a silence over the people, I'm like, oh, yeah. They got something. Because usually they'll start like, oh, yeah, ooh, you can do this, But they're like, usually like, start bubbling and stuff. They're like, oh, yeah, we got something. So that's one of the things about, oh, yeah, I did something right there. I think I'm onto something.
That's funny. I feel like as a kid, too, you would fear that they would sugarcoat it or be like, say it's good when it's not. But my family wouldn't.
No, my parents would not sugarcoat it. Well, my grandmother would phrase that. My parents would, my grandmother would not. So, yeah, my grandma's a firecracker. So, yeah, she would definitely, or Georgia Bell would definitely tell me if I'm missing something.
I believe it. I want to hear more about how you looked up to your dad, because on your website, you described him as a superhero and a really loving family man. Why did you decide to pursue firefighting versus like a full-on cooking career?
Yeah, so actually I wasn't going to be a firefighter. What happens is growing up in the firehouse, so just in general, like for the most fire departments, it's like a firehouse. So they're there for 24 hours a day. They're there all day. So at Miami, he was down in Liberty City. His station, he cooked breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They had dinner, all three meals together on shift. So, it was like a family, whatever. And, when I come and visit, sometimes I come visit at the school or things. And I'll sometimes join them for dinner. And I kind of see how he cooked for those guys. They really loved him. Oh, man, he cooked. And kind of like, he's more like, so like, seeing that in a different light was really one of the things that, he feeds the superheroes that go out and, save lives. So it's kind of like that thing there. So then originally, oh, I want to do that. And I love the medical field. And originally, I was going to be a nurse. I wanted to be a nurse. Went to school. I was at FIU down south in nursing school, about to start. And then I said, you know what? I'll just do this fire department as a backup. And it kind of just took off. And I ended up getting hired. And I'm like, man, I love this. And I never stopped. So it kind of just worked into it. And then I kind of found myself in that position where I was the person cooking at the station for everybody. And it kind of brought me back to those moments as a kid. So. So, oh, yeah, I definitely want to do this and definitely want to do this long term. So it's kind of like the things where I can kind of hybrid both in a sense of cooking, because the station I'm at was like 20 people. It's 20 people at the station. So, yeah, so it's like full dinner service every night. And, just going through that whole process and everything just kind of worked hand in hand in a sense.
My gosh, you're basically catering at that point.
With exactly. Yeah, exactly. That's what it was. Yeah.
I'm interested, too, because I feel like, I don't know. Firefighting is just so interesting. And then I guess it was nursing too. It's just totally different field. So was cooking always going to just be like a side passion thing, or you were like culinary school maybe?
No. So what it was is that, so just because of the stress of the job, it was more my therapy in a sense, just kind of like I usually play, depending on my mood, I'll play some house music or I'll play some music in the background and I just start cooking and kind of get away from where I'm at. Is kind of like just get involved in that kind of have a ratatouille, just kind of have like those different things in your mind and kind of like you just go into a new place, whatever. So it's kind of like it started off as therapy, just from just the rigors of the day and stuff. They're kind of like my thing to kind of like just kind of enjoy myself. And then low key, I started doing this and it kind of got into the more competitive culinary stuff there. Well, it starts, I'm like, oh, since I'm at station one, it's 20 guys. I'm like, I got to start taking some class or something. And then, well, rest in peace, the Cordon Bleu, before it went out of business, they had a campus in Orlando and they had a weekend class. You can go on weekends and series. And one of them was like food prep and different things. They're like, and knife skills and stuff. So I kind of like started, that was my intro into like culinary, like really get into it and learn about the mother sauces and everything like that. So I'm like, oh, I really like this. And then it kind of fell into, I didn't really want to do competitive cooking. It was kind of signed up as a joke by one of the firefighters. Well, they were known to do a lot of pranks on me. And the lady called me from the first show I did was Cutthroat Kitchen. Called me, hey, this is, I think his name is Michelle. Michelle from, from the casting company. Hey, we're doing Cutthroat Kitchen. We'd love to have you on our firefighter edition. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, I thought it was a joke. I'm like, hung up on a lady. And then I called the bank. Oh, crap, this is really real. This is like a California number. And I was like, oh, this is real. And I called her and found out the guy signed me up for it. So it was kind of like my intro into it. And I didn't know I didn't want to, like, liked it. But then when I did that first show, and I'm like, wow, I really like this competitive cooking, doing this kind of edge of it, that's really jumped and fell into it. So that's where I really, like, fell in love with it.
Yeah, yeah. I want to get to your television appearances in a minute, mm-hmm. in a minute, because I was watching your MasterChef stuff earlier this morning. But were you around 20 when you started firefighting?
Yeah, I was actually 20. I got hired. I was 20 years old at the fire department in 07. And, yeah, I was doing that. And, yeah, it was kind of like the thing, because I was like, oh, I want to do this. And it's kind of like things where I'm like, oh, let's see what happens. I'm young, and if I change, I can change it, go back, whatever. So it's kind of like the thing, stay with it.
Right.
I've been still doing it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, being that young, you have the whole world. You can do literally do anything. But I wanted to talk a little bit more about how you use cooking as kind of a therapy and escape, because especially being a firefighter, I mean, I can't speak to it. I know what I watch on TV, and I that's pretty much it. But I can imagine it's very scary and can be stressful at times. Is that particularly when you would use cooking as more of an escape in certain ways? Or
so just in general, like, that was the downtown stage, very busy, very, like, just go, 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 go. So, I mean, I could just kind of breathe and kind of have a moment to myself. That's kind of like I was using the therapy stuff there. Yeah. And we had some calls there, like, you know, we have far more better calls, outcomes than worse ones. But we do have those bad ones where we, you know, we see people pass away, different things like that. So, you know, those students still kind of stay with you there and kind of just kind of like just release and kind of just forget about the everyday things that you run through. That's the kind of way I've used it. It's definitely a therapy I use, and I still use to this day. One of the things there, regardless of it's from the job or just life in general, it's just love cooking is a way to doing that.
Yeah, it is. It's such a way to separate yourself from the world sometimes, because when you're so in the zone or you're playing whatever music you like, I even tried classical music recently and I was like, wow, this really just tuned me in. I felt really fancy doing it because it was all the classical stuff, but I really liked it a lot. And it's just such a way to separate yourself from the stress of life, I feel. How would you compare the difficulties of firefighting to competing on MasterChef?
Oh, you know what?
Not comparable.
It is comparable. So it's yes and no. So that's the thing, like, especially during the show, like, you know, what is it like? You know, is it like, you know, even that one in MasterChef, who knows, started just like, you know, just like you're under pressure and it's like, what are you doing? It's like, yeah, it's pressure, but it's like, you know, I don't know if it gave me an edge. I feel like it gave me edge because it's like, I mean, haven't been, but you know, nobody's not gonna die if I don't do anything right. Like, like, oh crap, if I mess up, like, low key, like, you get somebody hurt or you can die or whatever. But this one, I'm like, I mess up a souffle. Oh, okay, yeah, this is like, I'm not gonna die. So
stakes are lower.
Yeah, but stakes are much, much lower. So thinking of that, so those things like that definitely it kind of helped me kind of keep my even keelness through that stuff there. Because it is moments where you get to, especially with the celebrity, you see you go to Rams, you see all these different people, these heavy hitters, you kind of like, oh, God. And then you just have to be like, whoa, wait a second, bro. Just, you know, it kind of brings you back to center. So definitely those things, just find those happy balance.
I believe it. Yeah. I met Gordon Ramsay a few weeks ago, actually.
Oh, awesome.
He was really awesome.
Oh, what did you meet him at?
It was in Vegas. So I was writing a story about this recipe that he was chatting about with me. He was partnering with this appliance brand named Thor Kitchen. So it was Thor Kitchen. So they were incredible. And we went out to Vegas and they flew me there. And then I got to meet him pretty briefly.
Oh, nice.
But he was so sweet.
Oh, he's very
nice guy.
How is he in real life? And I'm like, bro, he does this for TV. Like, I never forget, because me and Eric, the other firefighter, we made it on together, so we did a whole thing where we cooked, and then we gave out white aprons, and we ran out. Like, at the end, like, they should cut off, but Gordon Ramsay came out and kind of, like, greeted our family, said, hey, congratulations, kind of thing, went back in.
Oh, nice.
And then, like, maybe 2-3 weeks in the shooting, whatever, it was on a challenge, and it's like, you know, he said, all right, it was a steak challenge, and we had to make steaks, whatever, so he sat there and made us, like, he went through this, like, 52-step process of how to, like, go from raw steak to, like, a complete steak plate and everything. And he's like, oh, we're going to get here, bam, 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 bam. You know, he just moving. So you got it? And we're like, yeah, we got it. And, you know, the boss was like, we ain't got this. And then literally, like, you know, the first thing we do, we mess up, whatever. But then we're like, all right. And he's like, hold on. He, like, we stopped it and broke axe. They told us to, like, take a break when they're moving cameras. And he stopped. Hey, man, how's your family's doing? You know, just kind of chat with us when we had a little couple minutes there, a couple seconds there. Is he ever good? And then it's like, action. He's like, you dumb? Fuck, didn't I just say? Like, he literally just goes up and he's like, whoa, 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 you need to ask about our families. How you go from this to this? So definitely, yeah. He's definitely, I think he's more just does it for show.
Yeah, I'm like, his blood pressure is probably going crazy when he has to turn it on and off. Like,
It's crazy.
So crazy. Yeah, I've only heard good things about him. And I experienced that as well. So I totally get that. And I read that he was one of your idols.
Yes.
Back when.
Yes. So you're just doing this stuff. And that's how I went out for MasterChef. I'm like, it's literally like that. I did Cutthroat Kitchen. And I'm like, man, I love this competitive cooking. It's like, what am I going to do next? I just did this. It's like, I don't want to stop. Like, how can I get this? And literally, like, I'm just sitting there. All of a sudden, like, on the screen came up and like, Gordon Ramsay come up. Come on to MasterChef and, you know, try it out in one of the cities, whatever. And I'm like, this is it. This is time. Let me just try to see what happens. And then I tried out at Jackson, Mississippi. I went out to Jackson, Mississippi and did it there, tried out, made it through the different preliminary, all the different 32 steps. And I ended up like getting out of it. And I'm like, man. So it was definitely like, you know, one of those things that was like that. Just a perfect storm, perfect timing, things. Like, how can I like, you know, move on this and keep going with the Chef Manny stuff?
Where did you audition? Where was that? You said Mississippi, but then
Jackson, Mississippi. At a hotel. They had a hotel set up, like in a conference room. We went over there, took the thing, and like when we went in there, just had to have a make. So go figure. I had to go to. I used the local fire station there. The firefighters there. We have a network, so just in general, like if I can go, pretty much, if I didn't talk to somebody in like Ontario, Canada, I can probably do 60 degrees of separation, get somebody there. So like the same thing. I'm like, hey man, I need to go cook in Jackson, Mississippi, kind of prep my stuff and. I literally was able to link up with some people, and the day before, I actually prepped and cooked a meal for that station to kind of practice for the actual audition or whatever. So, ended up working and doing my whole thing, and I did a chimichurri steak with some enchilada rice and black beans and plantains.
That
was the end of the dish I ended up getting to actually cook for Gordon Ramsay. So, ended up working out really perfect.
Yeah, it did. Was there anything that surprised you about being on a competition show that maybe audiences wouldn't know necessarily?
The isolation. That's one of the biggest things I didn't realize is the isolation of it. So, you know, when you get there, they take your phones, your computers, your everything, and they kind of sequester you. They sequester you, and you're like, you know, because they don't want you telling everybody what's happening. So that was one of the biggest surprises. And then, you know, at the time when I did MasterChef, I wasn't really in a relationship. I was single. So it was easy for me because it was just me. And, you know, I could just go put everything off the plate and, like, still do my thing. You know, some people had full-on families. People were, you know, losing their jobs. I see people getting divorces. I'm like, it is nuts, all the different things and stuff here. So I'm like, oh, God, people are experiencing life. And I'm just sitting there like, man, what's for dinner tonight? You know, kind of like, I'm like, in my whole little world. So I was like, I couldn't imagine, like, now doing have a family. Like, oh, I don't know if I'll do a competition show, but I don't know if I'll do the full bore, those long-winded ones. Like, if I do, like, a one-episode kind of thing, or a couple episodes, that's different. But that long, that, I wouldn't do that full because of just the toll it takes on your family. I can see it, so.
Yeah. Especially when you make it far, the weeks get longer and longer, and it's just like, and you want to make it farther, but it gets tougher. When I was watching your chimichurri steak, and then you were like auditioning for Gordon, and then I was kind of watching the progression of your elimination episode where you had to make fried chicken, and that was called the pressure test. And basically, it's under a ticking clock, and it's very stressful. What was your confidence level when you started the show versus when you ended, like with the pressure test challenge?
So I think because my first competition like that in the beginning, it was on high because, I'm coming here. I'm going to do this stuff here. And then when you get in the thick of it, and then you kind of see where you're at with the competition. And, you know, it was like a wide range of people that just cook at home a lot to people that kind of knew some stuff to people that like went to culinary school, but never went in. So it was like, you had a wide range of coming in. I'm like, oh, crap. I'm like really behind the eight ball going into it, like when I first started. And you know, you start getting through different things there. And it just overall, just the toll of just, you know, being away and then like the sleep schedule and just you filming all day, different things kind of grinding on you. So I would say my confidence wasn't at the highest necessarily when I got to towards the end of that because it was just, you know, there. And it's always like, you know, you try to learn stuff because what you do is that during MasterChef, you know, you film during the week, whatever, like Monday through Friday, you're filming. And then on Saturday, you'll go and do like the first half, one half of the group is doing like those replay, like those interviews where they have those like the crossover, they're flashing. And then the other group is doing like it's in a test kitchen, and you're sitting there and they give you like a stack of recipes, and then they hit you with this, and so all the recipes and different things. They'll show you a couple techniques that you need to really take on because you may or may not see this again in a pressure test the following week. So next episode, so it's kind of like you're jumping on a whole bunch of information on you. You're trying to do this stuff here, you're running, and then it's like you're not you're isolated. So it's like a lot of things that are working here. So just learning that stuff there. So. I'm like, man, I thought I knew all this stuff. And it was like, oh, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do this. I don't know this. What about this technique? This thing. And like, you think you have, but you're like, damn, like, I'm really behind eight ball. So the kind of confidence starts to jug at you a little bit when you were really, when I really started like getting deep into MasterChef.
I believe that. I would be so overwhelmed, I think. I would be, it's exciting and
Yes.
overwhelming and fast-paced at all at the same time. And it's like, you don't know where to look. You're just like chicken with his head cut off. But you were on an episode of Cutthroat Kitchen, so that was your first one, 2016, about then MasterChef, then Food Network Star in 2018, where you were a top three finalist, which is so awesome. You competed with Christian
Yeah, Christian
Petroni. I
Petroni,
love
yeah.
you.
So yeah, just like I said, I saw him at South Beach Food and Wine Festival, so it was good to see him. Kind of like he was called, because it's when you show biz, whatever, you see him during the show, whatever. We still text back and forth. We talk to each other like on Instagram, but we never really have like a full phone conversation. So so when you finally get to see them, it just so happened to be there. I'm like, hey, and you just kind of see him having a minute. So it's good to see him and kind of catch up and everything like that. So yeah, it was great. Being a Christian is great. He's got his cookbook coming out soon, but
I know. I was looking at his recipes and I was like, I love all of his videos are just so therapeutic. I'm like always watching them and they're all Italian, and he focuses on Italian food for those listening. But he does have a cookbook coming out in case you want to see that. Do you keep in touch with more other contestants from the show as
I
well? It
do.
seems
I
like
do,
kind of a
like,
big
especially if I go to New York and like Midtown, different places, whatever. I'll try to, we'll reach out to them and still hang out with them. Like Chris Valdez, who's on the show with us, he's down in Miami. Keep in contact with him, Christian, Jess. Keep in contact. She lives in Princeton, so still talk to, yeah, try to still talk to everybody. We still have a group chat that we have. Like once in a while, we'll say, "Hey, happy birthday," or kind of like thing on Instagram, like a little crew that we made, whatever. So we still keep in kind of contact there, kind of give each other updates and highlights. But yeah, it's pretty cool to still keep in contact with them. We kind of have pegged each other now, not having a full 30-hour conversation, but we are still like keep in contact with each other.
Well, that's amazing though when you can have a bond like that and then be able to see how their careers are prospering at different points. It's just so fun because everyone's so talented and amazing. I feel like you were so just bubbly and lively on screen, but you're also serious and passionate about cooking. So then you went on as a guest judge to Blind Kitchen. What's going on through your head as a judge versus a contestant?
So when it was, what was it? So go figure. So in Food Network Star, they actually had an episode where you were no longer a contestant, you actually asked the guest judge. And I had the guest judge against Bobby Flay.
Oh, I saw the photo of that next to you and Giada and Bobby, and then I went, I thought that was might have been Blind Kitchen, and I was like, that doesn't seem right. So that
What
makes
happens
sense.
is, go figure, in Food Network Star, the idea of Food Network Star, like I said, is to get you. So when you come out of it, you're a polished Food Network star. So that means you can cook, you can do demos, but you can also judge, guest judge. You can do like, they can put you in like different scenarios that a Food Network star may get into. And one thing is with judging. And what was funny is that we had to judge Bobby Flay, and he made a steak, and he purposely broke the béarnaise sauce that he had for the steak. Both of them, Bobby Flay, both purposely messed up their dishes to see if all of the contestants who are guest judges are going to say anything. So I'm sitting there, I'm literally looking at this, I'm like, yo, this sauce is off. Like, this sauce is broken. But I'm like, how can I tell this dude? Like, bro, this dude is, whatever. Rich is that. And I'm like, bro, he's doing it. And then the first person's like, oh, yeah, the steak, yeah, it's good. And then, like, just kind of did it. I'm like, hey, I love the steak, but, the sauce, needs a little work, this, I'm like, how do I tell Bobby Flay, he purposely like trashed the sauce. He broke it, like it was separating and everything. I was like,
Oh
bro,
my God.
you broke your sauce just. So I'm like, and then he's like, yeah, you're right. He's like, you're the only person that said it. And I'm like, oh, So after that, I'm like, bro, if I could say Bobby Flay that, I can say it. So then going into the Blind Kitchen, keeping on my kind of bringing that knowledge, that training and knowledge I brought up for Food Network Star, made it a little easier for that transition there, but it is definitely actually nice to be on the other side of the I guess table where you're not under the gun, but you're actually just get to just watch and eat. So that's kind of fun.
Did any of them give you advice along the way, like Bobby, Giada, even Gordon?
Yes, all of them did. By far, one I think I liked the most is Bobby's play. It was by far the most like I felt like down to earth, whatever, and just you know, I thought like going to Food Network started because of my personality. Like, oh, I'm going to kill the talking points, and I'm just going to be struggling cooking because of MasterChef. I had a hard time cooking and different things there. Like, you know, so I was like, oh, get my mind there. But after MasterChef, I went like on this tear of like, you know, I brought, you know, culinary books. I actually went to our local college and actually took actual full out food prep class. I sat there and did stuff. Just really like, really started like, I knew the knowledge, but understand why we do things and everything, really got into it. And then from there, so then when I came into actually Food Network, I had a better knowledge. And I ended up cooking way better in that thing, but then I had a hard time just talking through those different things because in my mind, I'm like, yeah, you know, this food is good. But it's like, you know, how do you explain the tarragon? How do you explain the, you know, this? So you just kind of like, you know, you talk about why it tastes good, or, you know, how does the saltiness, how does it stand, or the lemon? Like, you know, you have to really like talk about how the zest and, you know, changes your mindset, how you talk. And I was having a hard time just being very descriptive because I'm like, I got to hurry up. I only got 2 seconds, you know, it's kind of like things. So definitely was one of the things that he actually taught me how to like learn how to do the talking points and really doing, just really becoming a really food authority in talking about that. So I think that was one of the greatest things that they got it. And in the finale, I got Duff Goldman was my...
I love him. I just talked to him too.
Yeah, so he was my mentor for that episode. He has the same thing. And he kind of showed me that process there. So I think that was one of the greatest things. They're all, every person I've worked, done the show with or some sort of show with was Alton Brown. Chef Antonia was the guest judge. Well, she was the judge for that time. Like even them, just in that short episode, was given so many different gems and nuggets. And I think just in general, just to think just the culture of the chef world, everything that if you're willing to be open and humble, they're definitely like, will just pour into you if you ask them. So I've had great experiences with everyone.
Yeah. Alton Brown is such an institution. He's such an original. He's been on TV forever. And I know I love being in this business because they are so willing to talk to you and teach you and mentor you, especially just with their experience. Because like food is, I mean, it's serious when you're in the competition shows, but it's really not that serious. Right. Like you can learn and adjust and change and be creative. So I have learned that they're always willing to help. But do you find, because you said a few times that you love doing these competition shows, are you inherently competitive? What specifically do you like about these shows?
What I love about competitive is two things. It's because one, the competitive edge. So I like being a team, being a firefighter, being a team aspect. I love being at the team sports growing up in baseball. And I was the talk. I was the catcher. I was the one I always be like, bark it out and keep you. So I love having that banter and able to do that on screen there. So that's one of the things there. And I just love the, you know, the pressure cooker because it's like anybody, I say when I do the competition shows, I mean like anybody can make, you know, a full 5-course meal when you have 3 years to prep and, you know, couple of days to prep on everything, but then now you put everybody even playing field when you only have 30 minutes, you only have these ingredients, you know, you can be the best, but can you really put it all together and work under pressure? And that's one of the things I love. And I think I feel like it's a real equalizer. It'll, you know, you can bring the best people and stuff here, but you bring them all in the same exact ingredients or and you just make them work. I feel like it's open equalizer and it's kind of like more to your mental and the grit. So that's why I really fell in love with competition shows versus, you know, in round those other shows are great. But just being able to really like even painful say, hey, let's go mono and just go and run it. I just really fell in love with that aspect of that.
I feel like you can respect people too, like when they're kind of on the same playing field as you. Like it's easier to be like, hey, I, you know, you really did better at me than this, or hey, you know, I did better at you than this. Like I feel like, but then when you add the cameras, I don't know, people make all those funny comments.
Yeah, yeah, it's fun.
And you really get the inner monologue, but.
Definitely fun, yeah. They also kind of like sit there and like, hey, what about this? And kind of, you know, of course, they take it out, but you know, you'll be saying some random thing, whatever. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember saying that. But it's like, you know, this little fun thing, you know, you just kind of, you're talking out loud, just thinking out loud. That's it. So it's really cool.
Do you feel pressure when you're at the firehouse cooking for like 20 people and they're all like, where's my food?
Oh, yeah. So I've gotten to thinking that, so I moved up in rank, so I'm a chief officer now, so it's kind of hard for me. I don't cook as much as I used to.
Oh, okay.
As when I was a lieutenant, firefighters, different things, because I used to cook all the time, but now as a chief, I have like so much paperwork, whatever, so usually if I'm coming out to cook, it's usually like a special treat when I'm coming out to cook there with that. But yeah, when I do come out, it's funny, like, you know, when, certain time, like when it's 5:30, 6 o'clock, they come out like vultures. They just start come circling around the table, circling around the kitchen. Because you're kind of like, hey, what are you cooking? What are you going on? So yeah, in a sense, you have like that low-key little clock in your head makes you do that. And of course, you know, you want to get a call. You want to have the food ready so they don't get a call, whatever. So that's, yeah, that's, yeah, they still give that little pressure. They still come out and know, hey, especially now that they know I can cook. Oh, what are you doing? It's like, you know, I just can't do anything.
Get out of my kitchen.
I just can't do anything basic. I just can't do just a basic. Oh, let me just grill this up. No, like, you know, you got to, where's the sauce? Where's the dessert? Where's this? I'm like, bro, hey, relax. So all these different things is kind of funny learning about that.
That's funny. Yeah, they expect your intricate meals. What are your go-to meals? What are you cooking?
My go-to meals, so I have like the chimichurri thing has always been like one of my first dishes I really like mastered. The reason I love it so much is one of the first dishes I mastered at the station. With that, so the chimichurri steak there. And then some home favorites I have, like, you know, do a meatloaf. I love doing a beef short rib. It's one of the things I was able to do on Food Network, so I'm the finale for that one. This is one of those Sunday meals I can kind of sit there and set and forget it, roasting. You can just smell it throughout the whole station, just, you know, roasting with that, or even the house when I do it. And of course, you know, I just love grilling, so I got to do some burgers, do some bacon jam. I have my bacon jam on there, all those things I love cooking. So,
oh, I saw that recipe on your website, too.
Yes, it's awesome. So it's one of the things I love doing, everything there.
I know, because it ran in your family from your grandma, your dad, your mom. You're planning on passing this down to your kids. Are they, how old are they? That they, are they young enough?
Well, 3 about to turn 4, and then just had a recent turn 2-year-old. So they do join me, like, when I'm in cooking. I have some pictures I've seen, but, you know, they'll be on sitting on my shoulder, sitting and cooking, or they do want to help with some stuff there. But they're like, yeah, when I put them to work, they're like, all right, after like a couple things that I've ever done, you know, they're like, you don't, they're out. They're like, we're out. So,
yeah, too much. They're too young. You can give them an easy bake in a year or two.
Yeah, but, yeah, do, little by little, but they definitely already know. They already know daddy cooking and whatever's doing. So they have already been introduced to, but they're definitely going to be involved more.
Amazing. All right. So your catchphrase is to put some flames on them, right?
Put some flames on them, yep.
What is your go-to seasoning?
Ooh, my go-to seasoning. Depends. I've been, well, a little brown sugar never hurt nobody. Brown sugar, but definitely, I've been like a Mediterranean kick lately. So I just usually, my citrus, so my lime, my lemons, I love the loving that citrus, especially here being in Florida, whatever, having access to that. Citrus is just a game changer, bringing that zestiness in and just that acid. And anything I'm doing, whether it's the meats, whether I'm doing a salad, whether I'm doing a dressing, like whatever I'm doing, I love bringing that acid into it. So this is one of the things I've definitely been with those limes and lemons and even orange.
Especially in the spring and summer, too. Mm-hmm. It brightens everything up. It is just so delicious. I was expecting you to say spice to make it hot.
Oh, everybody thinks of spice. I'm like, no, I can eat spice, but I'm like, no, I love. I used to joke around, I like my booty holes, so, you know, like, I don't like to burn. Like, I'm like, bro, it's not comfortable. You know, I have, like, a little bit of spice. I love some chipotle, bring those in, because it's kind of like the smokiness, a little bit of heat. But, you know, just people are like, oh, yeah, I want a cayenne, I want a reaper. And I'm like, bro, why? You know, just like, you know, I just want to sit in the joint. I'm sitting there sweating, and they're like, the guys are like, because we eat Thai food at the station. We had a Thai food place right around the corner from us, and they'll sit there and eat, oh, I want extra hot. And you see them just sweating and just sitting there, and I'm like, bro, like, I just want to enjoy my food and be going, you know? Yourself. Yeah, it's just literally just sweat in the pool. I'm like, why? This is not fun.
No, it's not. It's funny that you said the Thai food, because I was just at I was covering this cooking class, and it was a Thai food cooking class, mm-hmm. and the woman was from Thailand, so she had been cooking forever. She was like, still lives there. She had come out specifically for this, and she was like, I like things really hot, but like, you don't have to do that. But she had already pre-cut it for us, the pepper,
yeah.
And I didn't realize how much was already in it, so I was like, threw it all in. I started eating it at the table, and I started crying.
No.
Nose was running, and I was like, why do people do this?
Yeah, I did a class in Thailand. It was amazing. But I'm like, yeah, they're like, oh yeah, we got some pepper. I'm like, no, I'm good. No, I'm good. Just one. Oh, no more. No, I'm good. I'm literally just fighting. They're like, come on. I'm like, no.
No. And then she looks at me like, it's delicious, right? I'm like, it is delicious. Right. It tasted amazing, but I'm dying.
Right.
That's funny. When were you in Thailand?
I did Thailand for my 30th birthday. So I went to Thailand. and kind of like did different places. And one of this is that I got to did a couple cooking classes out there, one in Bangkok, the one in the mountains, Chiang Mai or Chiang Mai, Chiang Mai, something like that. And yeah, yeah, the dual stuff from there is, you know, made it different there, learned how to make my homemade curries, my green curry, my red curries, and different things like that. And, you know, making a Thai fried rice and different things like that. And it really introduced me to white pepper. I'm like, white pepper, what is this? And I was like, what is this? And I'm like, you know, it really, really opened my eyes. Like, oh, you know, I got to really start incorporating this and stuff. This, like, so those things like that I love about that. So anywhere I travel, I always be sure, always do like a cooking class in that area to kind of really get a taste of it and bring it back to the station.
I was just scheduled. That's funny. I was just scheduling. I'm going to Peru with my sister this month, which I'm really excited for her graduation. And I was just booking a cooking class right before this, because I was like, Peru is just such a culinary hub. It's, it's like not underrated, but it also is, I feel like, because they have so many Michelin like restaurants there and stuff. But I was just booking a cooking class before this, but I've been dying to go to Thailand too.
Oh, like, you gotta go to Thailand. Oh my gosh, you eat like a king for like dollars on the cents, whatever. Just so crazy.
I bet. I'm like, well, now after the White Lotus, I'm like, is
right, let's talk about it. I'm tweeting towards it. We're ones of like episode 6 right now. So I'm like, don't talk about
it. Well, I won't say anything.
Because as we somebody was talking about, oh, you gotta watch the White Lotus. And then we saw we had like 2 other seasons. So we had to start looking at the 2 seasons. Now we finally just caught up to the 3rd season. I'm like, oh my God. So I was like,
okay, season 2 is so good.
Yes,
though.
Season 2 was pretty good. Yes.
I mean, the views were just incredible too, because in the Thailand, it's just the wellness resort, which is stunning, obviously. Right. But then in Sicily, you get all of the incredible views too. Right. But that season kept me on my toes, the second one. I was like on the edge.
Who get that? So I just kept figuring it out, yeah.
Okay, I won't ruin it for you then. But I did cover, I did write some articles about it. So you can, I can send them to you when you're done.
I gotta wait. I've been avoiding it. Everybody's like, oh, you see what? Like, not interested. Delete, move on. So like, I was like, oh, I just can't even look at stuff anymore because everybody's keeping rude. So I'm like, just like, look at that the wall. Until I get...
I'm surprised it hasn't been spoiled for you. It was all over my social media.
Yeah, I'm trying to. I've been low-key, like, avoiding social media. So I've been like, we're trying to finish the last episode like this week. So we're like, all right, this is it.
Good. Well, it made my jaw drop for sure. So you have that to look forward to. All right. So let's talk about what's next for you. I know you had a cookbook that came out in 2020. Do you have any other upcoming projects?
Yeah, so I want to get back to it. So one of the things I talked about is Go Figures, that when I was in MasterChef, I kind of discovered like going into the firehouses and cooking at different stations, whatever. So I did Jackson, Mississippi. And the kind of thing what I do is that, because I also go out and teach, whatever, is that I'll spend an extra day wherever I'm at and go to a firehouse and cook at the firehouse and give the guys or girls a break from there. And it kind of did a thing, and I started recording those thingies, and I was like, man, I need to put this into a series. So I have Chef Man in the House, like Firehouse, whatever. So I've been to a couple places. So I did Indianapolis, Vegas, been to Boston, Cincinnati, all different ones here. I've kind of fell off with it, but I have all these videos, and definitely, like, we're really re-sparked it again. So I went down to South Beach for the Wine Festival. I cooked at the Miami Beach Fire Department. So it definitely was like, I didn't record it. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to get back into it and really push my series out. Chef Me in the House, and really hit all those different firehouses there, because definitely, you know, you can go anywhere in the world. Well, anywhere in the world, a firehouse is cooking. Anywhere. I mean, Japan, everywhere. I've seen it. Like, we have a little Facebook group of firehouse cooking, and that you see people in Germany, Ireland, like, I mean, anywhere you are, they are cooking in the firehouse. So it's like, you know, it's definitely things that translate. And I would love to kind of, like, my dream is like, you know, take my little YouTube series and make it into something on, you know, Food Network somewhere. We're going around the world, and, you know, for the most part, like, you know, you want to jambalaya, you can jambalaya in down there, but I can go to right inside the firehouse in New Orleans and get one of the best jambalayas you ever had. So it's like, you know, things like that. It really gives get the best pulse of the whole city. You can go right to a firehouse and get that. So
that would be such an incredible show. There's nothing really. I mean, they have the ones where like Stanley Tucci's show, where they're, you know, you're all going around and tasting stuff, but nothing really focused on firefighters or firehouses. That would be really interesting. Mm-hmm. Food Network, if you're listening. Yeah. Well, that's a really good idea. I was looking at your YouTube a little bit, and I really like your videos. And I saw some of them, actually most of them, did really well.
Yes.
So you should definitely.
Yeah, so definitely lead into more. Just like, just to say, they got a 4-year-old, 2-year-old running me ragged. And I'm like, man, how can you do this? How do people do this? Like, yeah, so definitely doing that stuff.
And yeah, you might I don't even have kids, and I barely get my stuff done. So you're
doing it, man. So yeah, but you're definitely doing the stuff here. So just working those things there. But I'm definitely working. That's not my big thing. Is really getting that YouTube series out and really doing exploring that more, doing more guest judges and stuff there. So as to push for more, get more involved in like the food network on the Food Network, but just get more in the food and wine festivals and different things, those circuits, wherever we get to that. So I'm trying to really spread my wings and fly like a peacock, as they say, you know. So definitely doing those things.
That's funny. I mean, there's one thing about me, I love a good food festival. On the weekend, that's normally where I'm at. I mean, it's also half my job, but it's mostly my enjoyment. So
I know you do your own thing there, but I feel like you just do a wide range of everything. Are you technically a journalist? Or what is it like? I feel like you do so many things. It's like, your POV, because the geographic thing, what is your food POV? And I'm like, you know, so what is your POV in a sense with all these different things? I know you do so many different things there. What was like the thing that got you started into this? Or just in general, like?
I honestly was a crazy picky eater, which is very, very weird. My family, I'm Italian and Irish. So my mom cooked, but mostly like American food. And then my dad would cook sauce every Sunday. Nice. So typical kind of Italian American thing. But I kind of started when I went abroad for the first time to Italy. Oh, nice. And I was in Florence. And then I was just like, whoa, there are so many other foods that I can eat right now. And then my roommate at the time and some of my other friends, they had really expanded palates. So they kind of encouraged me to try more things. And then I ended up joining this club that was all about food blogging and started kind of writing. And then I wrote my first article ever, was so long ago now, but it was like how to eat at the dining hall as a picky eater. Like I was in college and it was cute. From there, I got an internship as social media, but then I realized I actually liked writing more and I was better at it. Started writing there. And then this is a very long-winded explanation, but okay. You know, I got a job out of there writing for like more national publications. So I am, my main job is a journalist. So I cover like food, travel, and shopping, but I'm freelance. So that's why I'm literally all over the place all the time. Yeah, I'm like, people are, even the public relations people and representatives that I work with often are very confused. They're like, where are you always? But freelance, you kind of have to be so amenable and versatile with everything like, you do.
Just blend in, bam, 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 jump into different things there.
Yeah, you got to be a chameleon. But my main will always be food, and I'll always love food. And then I started this podcast, but I interview a lot of people too for articles, and then I translated it to this podcast. So I was always in the Food Network game. I've probably met like everyone in Food Network at this
point. Nice. That's great. It's really cool.
Yeah. You should definitely be on more Food
Network. Yeah. I'm trying to see what it is. It's just a little different. You definitely, I remember like, I don't even remember like back in the day, when I was on Food Network, it was owned by Scripps Network at the time. It was owned by Scripps Network. And then Discovery Network came in and like brought everything. Remember that whole thingy? And like, it was around 2018, 2019. And then right when they did it, they like clean shop. So they brought all their new people in there. And I'm like, hey, new people, how you doing? They're like, who are you? And I'm like, okay, cool. And it's like, so just kind of like just building those relationships again and getting stuff there. This is the kind of like thing there. So I'm just working on those and hopefully get back in the game with that stuff there.
I would love to host at some point. I'm like, maybe in these food festivals, because a lot of my food journalist friends, they host or mediate at the food festivals, all those Q&As and conversations. So I was like, I'll make it there eventually, but I'm like, maybe to host a Food Network show.
Oh, that'd be great.
At some point.
That'd be cool.
I'll just be in the background of yours if you want.
That'd be great. We're doing it.
Amazing. So I have a short game for you if you're up for it.
I'm down.
Cool. So it's a kind of like a lightning round, but I'm going to pin some popular foods against each other and you're going to pick which one you prefer.
Okay.
Cool. Fried chicken versus grilled chicken.
Fried chicken.
Yeah, I agree. Mac and cheese versus mashed potatoes.
Ooh, mac and cheese.
I agree too. Okay, cornbread versus biscuits.
Biscuit.
Okay, a stacked hamburger with like all the works versus a smash burger.
Stacked.
And then I gotta throw this in. Your bread pudding versus chocolate cake.
Oh, bread pudding. Where's that? Bread pudding.
I'm such a chocolate fiend, but I'm picking your bread pudding on that, which is a very big deal.
Yeah.
Because I am addicted to chocolate.
Yeah, people are like, hey, I've never had bread pudding before, but I'm gonna love this. Or people are like, ugh, bread pudding. Like, they kind of like when they first heard it, like, ugh. Like, they didn't, like, and they didn't say it, but their face was like, and I'm like, oh, and then they have that, and they're like, ooh, and they do like little things. So I'm like, all right, I converted a lot of people that day when I was doing
the That's amazing. You're changing their brain chemistry.
Yeah.
Well, it's really just like French toast in a way.
Exactly. Yeah. Low key, it is. It's a fancy French toast. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So, my final question for you that I ask every single guest is, if there is one cooking utensil or appliance you think everyone should splurge on, what would it be and why?
I mean, obviously, chef night is just because that's usually universal, but I think it was splurge is not all ops, like out of the ordinary, an immersion blender. I think an immersion blender is something that I've used more often than I expected to. When you're making sauces or just trying to break things down, whatever. I've used that so many times doing that stuff, just mixing stuff up, whether it's not only just for blending stuff here, but you get a whisk on it. There's so many different attachments you can add to it. An immersion blender is a game changer when you're trying to go like I'm just a basic person, or I really want to kind of like really start adding stuff to my repertoire, start things adding. You know, yeah, you can get a sous vide, that's cool thing, but I'm saying immersion blender, when you're making the sauces, you're making aioli, you're making a mayonnaise, anything you can do with that, you can do so many different things with that immersion blender.
You know what's funny is when I started this podcast when I moved to LA, which was almost 2 years ago now, one of my guests also told me an immersion blender, and I still do not own one.
Definitely get one. Oh my gosh. It's definitely good.
Especially, I know. I'm like, I just like to make myself harder, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, it's taking forever. It's just like, use for everything. All different types of hats to it. You can have so much stuff there.
I believe you. I still don't even have a food processor, and it kills me. I like used a NutriBullet the other day.
Yeah, I have a food processor. I have a food processor, but I barely use it. Like, it's over there. I'm just going to cut it. I was like, I'm not going to sit here. Like, by the time I pull out the stuff here, I'm like, no, I'm just going to cut it. So.
Do you have a bunch of, like, a lot of your kitchen appliances? Like, is the firehouse pretty stacked with kitchen appliances?
Yes, we do. Since the station's like 20 people, it has commercial, almost commercial grade stuff. We got like 8 eyes, indoor grill, 3 convection ovens, 4 refrigerators, food processors, wow, immersion blenders. We got all different things, you know, meat cutters. We got a whole bunch of stuff. We got we have everything. So for
that is a perfect Food Network setting.
Yeah, so there's so many stuff there. So,
wow, that's incredible. Well, thank you so much for taking the time out of, I'm sure, your busy day and chatting with. Also, just living in LA too recently, I want to thank you for being a firefighter, because I know.
I appreciate you. Were you affected by the wildfires?
I wasn't, but I did leave.
Oh, geez, yeah.
There was like one near my house, and I'm from Connecticut, so I'm like, I don't really know
how far,
like, these work. I was so stressed.
Wildfire is a whole nother beast. It's like, yeah, we don't deal with that. That's like a whole nother different side of firefighting. Like, you know, yeah. So
still hard all the same, though.
Yeah, it's very hard, but yeah, different beast, but yeah, definitely.
Of course. So you can keep up with Manny on Instagram, TikTok, or Facebook at Chef Manny FD.
Yes, indeed. Put some flames on him. Woo! It's gonna... I say this stuff here.
But no spice.
A little bit.
Hey, fellow foodies. Thanks so much for listening. And don't forget to leave me a review. While you're at it, make sure to follow me at Livin' for Food Pod on Instagram or TikTok, or email me at livinforfoodpod@gmail.com. Let me know what you're cooking up this week, which guests you would like to see on the podcast, or tell me your opinions on the latest viral food trend. And in case you're just joining me, there is an entirety of season 1 ready and waiting for you. Until next time.